Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Good morning, Nashville. Corey Curtis sitting in for Braden Gall on the Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason alongside on a rather large morning in Music City sports history as the Nashville Predators have parted ways for a coach for just the second time. Last night, the team parting ways with Peter Laviolette and moving on. And they've got a game tonight with the Boston Bruins, and I don't believe we know who's going to be leading them on the bench, Derek Mason.
And that's, you know, I mean, we may not know, but
they
I'm
know.
Pretty sure they know.
Well, I hope they know.
Exactly. I hope they're not walking into the game like, hey, who do we report to?
Yeah.
Who's setting the lineups? No, this team, you know, we talked yesterday briefly because Robbie was on about what was going on with Nashville Predators because they, you know, they got one out of, you know, three out of the possible 4 points or two out of possible 4 points they could have gotten over the weekend.
Three out of four.
Yeah, three out of four. So we talked about briefly, you know, them playing so well against one team, the Ducks, and then coming back and losing against a team they should have beaten.
Yeah. Well, they were up 2-1, then give up three straight goals in the second.
And it's just the up and down play. And why is it that a team so talented play so sporadic during the season? And we equated it to the Dallas Cowboys. All this talent, but for some strange reason, they can't put it together. And, well, Dallas fires their coach at the end of the season, Cowboys, and now the Nashville Predators fire their coach halfway through the season. So, I mean, hopefully this is a jump start for them. That's what I'm pretty sure Poyle is hoping, that, you know, like you said off air, get this team to play hard and consistent every night. Now, what it materialized to at the end of the season, what it ends up being, I don't know, but at least you get these guys playing hard.
Well, and when we say playing hard, we're not saying that they're not going out there and they're not trying and they're not hustling, but there's a difference between going out there and playing hard and going out there and playing with an edge and giving it everything and sacrificing everything. And, you know, you can watch and feel a sense of urgency. And we see it in sporadic moments with this team. When they played the St. Louis Blues, the Stanley Cup champion, you see a team and you're like, man, they really worked. But for whatever reason, we don't see that every night with this team. And it really stands out in virtually every game they've played against the Dallas Stars. The Dallas Stars are tough, they're gritty, they're physical, and every time they play the Preds, they just take it to them.
Yeah, and, you know, it just... I'm trying to figure out, because if you look at Lavi's history, he's won a cup with Carolina.
He's taken a 3 to 5 year guy.
And he's taken two teams to, well, three. He's taken all three of his teams to the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, there's a shelf life. It seems like there's a shelf life. It's fresh.
But I'm not going to blame this entirely on Lavi.
No, this is not 100% Lavi. No.
I look at the players,
and you
look at what happened. They went to the Stanley Cup as an 8 seed and became the toast of the NHL and certainly the toast of Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly the toast of Nashville. And then the next year, they get to the President's Trophy. And they've got the President's Trophy like locked up in like February.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just killing it. And they kind of fizzled to end the season. And, look, I don't know for a fact, but I feel like some people got a little full of themselves. And a lot of guys got married. A lot of guys had kids. And a lot of people had people telling them how awesome they were. There's a lot of people telling this Predator team how awesome they are. There's a lot of people telling this team that they should win the Stanley Cup. Right?
No, you're absolutely right.
All right. Well, there's got to be one guy who's got to tell them that you're not going to win the Stanley Cup unless you work harder. And that's got to be the head coach. And for whatever reason, they're tuning that out.
Yeah, it's you try to figure out, as a player to how do I reinvent myself every season? Because you have to. If you want to have some form of longevity and consistency, you try to figure out how do I reinvent myself every year? Because guys figure out what you did that year that you played, and if you do it the next following year, you're not going to be as good. So you got to try to figure out ways to get better as a player. Coaches have to figure out ways that I can get in touch with these players, because these players are much different than what they were when he was with the Carolina, yep. when he was with Carolina and in his previous stops. And this team is even different to the last year's team. So how do I, as a coach, get my points to resonate with these guys? And for some strange reason, it wasn't resonating with these guys. To me, this is a 50-50 deal. To me, this is 50% on the players and 50% on the coaching staff, because
he's got to figure it out.
Yeah, you're right, but it all falls at the doorstep of Lobby.
Yep.
He didn't figure out how to coach.
No,
that he didn't.
No,
he knows how to coach.
You know what? He's probably going to go somewhere else. He's probably going to win a ton of hockey games.
Exactly. He probably end up in the Stanley Cup again because he knows how to coach.
Yep.
It's how do I keep their attention?
Okay. You're bringing up the point of the locker room mm-hmm. and moving these guys forward. How big of an impact do you think the Kyle Turris situation had on his ability to lead this team this year? It was a mess from mm-hmm. the get-go. And you know, not every player on the team has to disagree with the coach for it to be a problem.
No, it doesn't. You only have to have a few. And a lot of times it's the guys, the veteran guys. I guarantee you the guys that you know, there was a portion of the locker room that, you know, understood.
Look, Rocco Grimaldi's not going to complain about anything.
Exactly. He's like, hey, I'm just going to do what I need to do.
That's right.
And I'm barely, you know, I'm working my way up the roster, and there's not much I can say. But there was a few guys, I guarantee you, in that locker room that were, you know, like, why are you doing this? You know, you shouldn't treat them. Either you play them or you don't play them. Don't treat them like this and have them on the hook. We need them. Guys are going down, and you bringing other guys up that we hadn't played with, and Turris is sitting here.
This guy's making $6 million a year. We're bringing up a guy from Milwaukee.
Guys get upset. Guys get really upset about that. Players get really upset because they're like, listen, this guy has been with us. He can play. Put him in. Let him do what he do instead of bringing up someone that I haven't played with, and he's not going to make our team better. I guarantee you that locker room had to be, I'm not going to say it was split down the middle, but there were a few guys that just didn't like the way Peter handled it from a professional
from
level.
A respect level.
Exactly.
Respect is a very big word in professional sports.
Absolutely.
Because you've got a lot of prideful guys. All right, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll take your calls really all morning long. If you want to weigh in on the Nashville Predators and the firing of Peter Laviolette, where they go from here, do you like the decision? Do you not like the decision? What would you like to see the short term? What would you like to see in the long term the Nashville Predators do? They'll have their morning skate today at 10:15. And then after that, players are generally available for interviews. But later this morning, after the 11 o'clock hour, David Poile will talk with the media. I'm assuming at that point we'll find out who's in charge of the hockey team tonight. Mm-hmm. when they play the Boston Bruins, and who's going to be in charge the rest of the way. I think a name that's going to come up immediately long-term is Phil Housley, the fired coach of the mm-hmm. Buffalo Sabres. I believe he's with the Coyotes now in Arizona on an assistant level. But I always felt, because he was a guy that was hired by David Poile to be on Peter's staff,
mm-hmm.
okay? So he was a guy who was brought in, and I think he was actually brought in at the end of the Trotz era. I always felt like he was the head coach in waiting for when Lavi inevitably burned out. Now, he wound up being a head coach in Buffalo before he could have a chance to be the head coach here,
mm-hmm.
but I still think he's a guy that David Poile thinks a lot of, and I think if they hire an interim term head coach this year, I think Housley will be the guy that gets the job in the offseason.
Do you think that it depends on, because they just brought in Dan Lambert. He could be a potential interim head coach. Dan Muse can be one. You think whoever takes over now, if this team goes on a run, And
can you
up,
win the job? Yeah.
Yeah. Getting themselves in the playoffs and making a run in the playoffs.
That's the nice thing about they've got roughly half the season left is they have enough time to win the job. If you brought a guy in with 18 games to go, that's not enough time to win the job.
Exactly.
All right. But half of a season is enough time to win the job. If you can get this team turned around and push them towards a run in the playoffs, I think you can show that you can lead this team. But like I said, 18 games, not enough. There's also the possibility, who's the coach in Milwaukee? They could bring that cat in to run things. That's not an unheard of scenario in the National Hockey League to bring in your AHL coach to run things because he's a head coach.
Uh-huh.
And I think Lambert's only head coaching experience is like on the junior level. I could be wrong there.
It wouldn't hurt. I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, look. I mean,
he's been with this team since the season started, and what you brought him in here for.
Do the guys respect him? I mean, that's the question. You need a guy that the guys respect. I mean, if the guys don't respect who's calling the shots, you think they're not playing hard now, it'll be like herding cats.
Yeah.
Okay?
Everybody's going to be out for themselves.
Work. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, just who they tab to go there the rest of the way. Because, listen, I know what David Poile's thinking. I have put together not just a playoff team, but a team that should compete for the Stanley Cup. And right now, they're fighting for last. Okay? So he's thinking whoever comes in here needs, at the minimum, to get us to the postseason. Because if they just play hard, I don't care what system they play, they should get to the postseason.
Well, it's yet to be seen. I just don't see how, you know, but it can happen. It can happen, but I just don't see how, you know, making a change is going to all of a sudden.
Because the St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup last year.
And that
year.
Was probably an anomaly.
Well, it is an anomaly, and I'm not saying they're going to win the Cup, but I'm saying you can get a team turned around and in the right direction. Hey, Marquise, who do we have on tap today? I know we got a big lineup today.
Yeah, absolutely. We got Robbie Stanley is going to be joining us later on. He was hosting yesterday.
He called me at 7.
It's pretty much role reverse now because you came on yesterday to talk Titans. Now he's coming on at 8:30 to talk about the Preds. And also we have Floyd Reese that's going to join us in his weekly spot at 6:30. So he's coming up shortly. And then later on we will have Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.
All right, here we
go.
He's
going to be joining us to talk about the Peter LaViolette. And also C-Mace, Chris Mason's joining us at 9:30 because it was funny because he had the first reaction on our station as far as a guest is concerned because he joined Jared and the GM yesterday as the news broke. So he'll be joining us as well.
All right, we're going to get some of that C-Mace reaction on the other side of this break, and we'll try to hear some of what some of the people had to say yesterday. We'll hear that throughout the morning as well about the reaction to the Predators firing Peter LaViolette after a trip to the Stanley Cup and almost 250 wins. He came in and set Nashville on fire for a few years, but the last couple of years has finished in very disappointing fashion. Corey Curtis sitting in for Braden Gall. I'm with my main man, Derek Mason, the greatest receiver that ever played the NFL game. This is the Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
For me, I watch this club, and I've seen this for 3 weeks. I just don't know their identity anymore. Mm-hmm. This used to be a team that you didn't want to play against. They're in your face. They're hard to play against. They had a lot of energy. They don't have an identity right now, and that's why I think David Poile had to make this move. Yeah. I mean, they're at a critical point of the season. They're 40 games in. They're at the bottom of the pack. They have enough skill and talent here. If they can fix some certain areas in their game, the PK, and if the power play gets better, but the D-zone coverage has to get better. Giving up far too many goals. They can score goals, but they have to defend much better. Far too often, they leave the middle of the ice right in front of their goaltender, Pecorini, and that's just not good enough. Open and too many easy goals, too many layups, and Pecorini is a heck of a goaltender. So if they can help defend a little better and help Pecorini, I think this team can climb back in and find a way to get back into the playoffs because they have a lot of skill up front in this hockey club, and they got Roman Josi, their captain defenseman, leading this team in scoring.
Scott Stevens weighing in on the firing of Peter LaViolette yesterday. That's former NHL star Scott Stevens. I am never a star of anything. I'm Corey Curtis, filling in for Braden Gall on ESPN's 102.5 The Game. The Morning Drive, along with Derek Mason, the morning after the firing of Peter LaViolette. And Scott Stevens was talking about a lot of things there, talking about a lack of identity, talking about giving up too many layups, talking about not working as hard defensively. I'm going to throw out a word that's not a good word.
Ooh.
Soft. They're kind of soft right now. They're kind of soft right now.
You never want to be called soft in a world of sports.
Do you think they're kind of soft right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're not the – because we look at the Titans, but we look at the Predators, and we always talk about foundation. And we'll get to you in a second, Bob.
Yeah, Bob's on the line. We're going to get to you.
We talk about foundation, and this team was built on X, X, and X. Well, when Trotsky was here, this team was built on hard-nosed defense, physical play.
They weren't talented enough.
Yeah, they won, but they didn't score enough. But he had that. They went out there and they played physical.
They grinded, or whatever you want to say.
Well, this is what you wanted this team to always be, and then all of a sudden they bring in Lavi, and they go from this grinded out team to more of an up-pace, fast.
Well, they started bringing in offensive players.
Exactly.
But they still played with urgency.
Mm-hmm.
And you still had the residual defensive effort that Trotz had ingrained in this team for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That residual, along with all the big contracts that have come in for all these guys, has gone away.
Yeah, you're right about that. They got to get back to that grittiness.
Urgency.
Yeah.
They need to come out like every night's important. Not just when the Stanley Cup champs are in town.
Yeah, you're right about that. I think at times they play to the level of their competition.
I would agree. Bob, what do you think? You're on the line.
I like Laviolette, but I think that they needed to make the change. I totally agree with what you said about them being soft. That's been my issue for the last couple of years. I wanted to get your feeling about this. I've heard a lot of commentators say that other teams learned how to defend against the Predators system, and that Laviolette was basically trying to fit the players into that system instead of altering the system. So do you think that that the new coach will change their system? That's the first question. And my second question is, I don't know if you've looked at the schedule. After tonight, they have a really, really, really difficult set of road games. And, you know, you were talking about them rising or falling to the level of competition. Do you think that maybe Poile made the decision to bring in a new coach because they were going to go on the road? And is being on the road a little bit better for a new coach to ease into it than if he was at home under the microscope?
Well, you know, I'm going to start with the second question first because it's freshest on my mind here. I think getting the guys on the road gets them out of their circle, okay? And it makes them they've got to be accountable to him, all right? So they get on the road, and he gets to herd all the cats, and he gets to have them all together. And we've seen this team before in the past, and a lot of teams, they get on the road, and most of the distractions are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that there is some credibility to what you were saying there, Bob, in that, you know, getting them on the road, this is a good time. I think the main reason you do it now, and I'm sure David will talk about this later, you know, look, there could have been a meeting and something came to a head.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that certainly could be the case. But you got to do it before it's too late, and we're at the halfway point. And there's no signs of this team playing with any consistency. Now, as for the first part of that question, look, I don't think Lavi's system is the problem. They're scoring goals.
Yeah.
They're just giving up a ton of goals. So I don't know what system they're going to play in. I think this team's got the talent offensively and defensively to play in a lot of systems if they simply play with more urgency, more physicality, and more effort.
Yeah, I mean, you can't all of a sudden, you know, this was a Lavi loves to run this, you know, this system where they're scoring goals, because the problem was with Trotsky, they felt he just wasn't scoring enough goals.
Yep.
It seemed like the hockey was moving
the defensive responsibility.
Exactly.
And it became a fast break game.
Absolutely. So they figure, hey, we will go with Lavi. He's a little bit, his system has proven they can score goals. So this is the direction we're going to go in.
And they scored goals.
So they scored goals. I don't think all of a sudden now you can just say, you know, scrap all of this. This is what we're going to be. Because then you will sort of make the same mistake that we're saying Lavi made, trying to take a bunch of squares and fitting them in round holes. It's just, this team was built to score. They just got to find a way to play better defense.
I don't think there's square pegs going in round holes here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't. Now, look, I think the roster needs some more sandpaper to it. It might need some more grit.
Yeah.
But
that's what they've been trying to do, like, during the trade deadline for the last 3 years, is get grit. They bring in, you know,
Cody McLeod.
McLeod.
But he's not here anymore.
Boyle. They bring in these guys that are big physical guys, and then they don't keep them the next year.
Well, because usually those guys that are available are on the back ends of deals. And so it's tough to keep them around when you're up against the salary cap like the Nashville Predators are. But, I mean, look, you got Austin Watson, Brian Bonino, Colton Sissons. You know, there's not a ton of that old style Predator grit on this team, and they could use a little bit more. Mike's on the line. Mike, what do you think?
Hey guys. So I am not nearly as surprised, I think, as everybody else. Is anybody surprised by this?
Not really.
No, I mean, like, I'm just saying, there's shows that Brian Forth and the guys, when they first dropped Jared, everybody was like, oh my gosh. I'm so surprised. I'm sitting here going, and this is maybe what I want you guys to talk about. If we didn't have the Winter Classic, would this have happened sooner? I think they were giving Lavi respect and letting him get to the Winter Classic because he's done so much for the team. But, man, as much as we've regressed since we've won the Cup, I mean, I know we won the President's Trophy and blah, blah, blah.
But they even regressed at the back end of that season.
Right, exactly. So now we're at this point where this team, we went out and get Matthew Shain, and we're supposed to be lighting it up like this is a Cup contending team, and we're just not. I feel like this team kind of shut down on them about, like we said, the midway point around November, December. And I would have pulled the trigger sooner, but again, I think they showed him some respect, let him have that Winter Classic, but we, you know, laid an egg during that as well. So it was time. I got a lot of respect for Lavi. He was a great coach, but man, I'm looking forward to hopefully this new guy coming in and hopefully interjecting some new energy.
All right, thank you very much.
Isn't it surprising, Corey, that, you know, we talk about how, you know, how does he get this team going? What is Lavi doing?
Uh-huh.
You know, he needs to do this. He needs to do that. He need not treat tourists this way. He needs to just play them. And then when he gets fired, everyone's surprised.
Well,
that's surprised.
I've been calling that this is going to happen inevitably for a couple of months now.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not surprised at all.
I mean, I wasn't surprised that he got fired.
I mean, I guess they got 3 out of 4 points over the weekend, and that could make it a little bit surprising. But you know what? They could have made the decision after the Dallas game at the Winter Classic that this is what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
And then getting all their ducks in a row, and then so when they get back from L.A., we'll do it. Or like I said, things could have come to a head in a meeting when they returned. I mean, we don't know. Hopefully we'll find out some answers from David Poile, you know, today. But as to his point of asking about did they give him the Winter Classic, I would say hell no to that. I would say you don't keep a coach around that you don't want because you want to give him the ability to coach in a meaningless hockey game, because that's what the Winter Classic is.
But do you think to fire him before the Winter Classic?
See, this is my point.
Uh-huh.
You don't fire him before because you don't want this to be the talking point of the national hockey media
right before you're
on the spotlight.
Exactly.
You want to keep everything as positive as you can because your team is going to be in the spotlight for a week or so for that Winter Classic. And you know, you've got the center stage on New Year's Day in the hockey world. You don't want all the talk to be about your underachieving season and the hockey coach you just fired. And so I can see them waiting for that. But I think more than anything, David Poile is a great guy. And I'm sure David Poile thinks the world of Peter Laviolette and didn't want to fire him.
Yeah.
I mean, look, nobody wants to fire anybody.
That's a hard thing to do.
Yes. And especially because if you hired him for a reason. Like, we always hear about relationships souring.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody here ever heard about the relationship souring with David Poile. I think it's a physical impossibility because he's just too good of a guy. I think David Poile gave him every opportunity to reconnect with this hockey team and get them pointed in the right direction. And they got to the halfway point, and he said, enough. I can't do this forever. I want to win the Stanley Cup, and I think I've got a roster.
Sort of like what Vrabel did with Marcus. We give you all every opportunity.
You get to that point.
Yeah, we got to make the change now.
All right, you brought up Marcus Mariota. That means you brought up the Tennessee Titans. Floyd Reese, the former GM of the Tennessee Titans and the second half or the better half of Jared and the GM? I'm kidding. He's going to join us next year on ESPN's 102.5 The Game. Corey Curtis filling in for Braden Gall along with Derek Mason. This is The Morning Drive. Welcome back in Nashville, Corey Curtis on The Morning Drive with Derek Mason, Titans legend, alongside on the morning after the Preds firing Peter Laviolette and assistant coach Kevin McCarthy. Kind of a secondary tidbit to this situation, not just the head coach going down. He is the co-host to Jared and the GM each and every day, the former general manager of the Tennessee Titans and executive guru to the New England Patriots, Floyd Reese. Floyd, my man, aren't you on the jogging trail this morning?
I'm getting ready as soon as you're done here. I'm out the door.
Listen, Floyd, you know, we have all talked about the situation with the Preds, and were you surprised yesterday when the news dropped?
Oh, shocked. And I don't, you know, I don't think anybody has been thrilled with where the Preds are, but we've been through some of these ups and downs with this team. And I think, at least in my mind, I kept thinking, hey, you know, you go on a road trip here and you get, what, 3 points? And you think to yourself, okay, maybe, you know, they're right back on track and we'll get this thing going. But, you know, didn't work out. I don't know all the ins and outs, what went on. You know, the story broke last night about 5:30 at the end of our show, and I think both of us were kind of looking at each other and we're going, wow, that's a little bit of a surprise, knowing David's background and, you know, his yearn for stability and all of a sudden this happened. So, you know, you're kind of scratching your head.
Well, listen, you've made an in-season coaching change before as a general manager. What is David Poile, when you make this move in season, what is he hoping the net gain is of doing it now?
Well, when we did it, it was a little bit different because we did it at the end of the year. And I think in our mind, we had decided, okay, this is not going to work. And I kind of likened it to Marcus when you know, Vrabel decided to
change
quarterback.
That's what Derek just did, yeah.
You know, it's just not working there, and so we've got to change and do something. Here's the change. I'm going to stick with it and see what happens. We did it at the end of the year to get somebody in there to more or less audition for the next year so we could see them work with the team, work in practice, do all the things that we needed before we had to make a final decision.
Now, Floyd, is there ever a time as a GM where – you have in your mind, and you know, basically life is this way, I guess, that hey, this is what I'm going to do. And in regards to Lavi, I got to fire the guy. But then at the last minute, you win a few games, it seems like things are going in the right direction, and you kind of hold off on a firing. Do GMs typically operate that way, or when they make a decision, they're just going to make it regardless if you go on a 3 or 4 game winning streak?
Yeah, I mean, with us, when we did it, it was always, okay, we're done. You know, the decision is made. And what's the next best thing to do? And I think, you know, hockey's a little bit different than football for us. It seems to me, anyway. You know, football, if you make these changes, and you would know this better than anybody, D, but I think – you know, everybody kind of looks at it as, okay, you know, let's make it through this season.
But usually you're pretty terrible.
Yeah, you know, but in hockey, you know, you see people make changes and heck, they, you know, win the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
So, I mean, anything is possible, and it's a different sport, and, you know, they handle it a little bit different.
All right, Floyd, there's a ton going on that I want to get to you here in this segment. Tua Tagovailoa announced yesterday he is going into the NFL draft. Look, I love Tua Tagovailoa. I love watching him play. Respect the hell out of him. His injuries, two ankles, a knee, and a hip in his short time at Alabama would make him undraftable to me, especially in the first round. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, it would be scary, without a doubt. Now, the doctors will play a giant role in this and what they say. You know, having just a tiny bit of experience with the injury that he had, I mean, it is really traumatic. I mean, it is a...
That's a huge joint.
Oh, and it, you know, from what I understand, it shattered or at least fractured his pelvis in the back, you know, and it does a whole bunch of stuff to the bones and things in there, and you just don't know, you know, how that whole thing's going to pan out. So, I mean, you would have to be concerned because the investment's going to be large, and you're expecting this guy to be the guy. And, you know, with all the health issues, you know, I've kind of always shied away from those guys to begin with. So I would be concerned.
All right, and the Dallas Cowboys tabbed Mike McCarthy yesterday to be their head coach after a two-man search and after holding Jason Garrett hostage for a week, evidently. Number one, what do you think of the hiring of McCarthy? And number two, what do you think of the Cowboys' process?
You know, the hiring I thought is fine. You know, Mike is a good football coach. He's got some experience. You know, probably all the things they're looking for. You know, you always wonder how he's going to work with Jerry. And according to the reports I saw, it was love at first sight. So maybe, you know, maybe this is the answer. I was not happy with the way Dallas handled it. You know, Garrett had been there a long time. He had done, you know, about everything he could. I thought it was a little bit disrespectful the way they treated him at the end. You know, if you're going to fire him, fine. Go ahead and fire him.
They were interviewing people while he was still the head coach.
Yeah, yeah, those kinds of things. Those things are really distasteful. And I think, you know, if you're the next guy in line, now, let's face it, Dallas is as good a job as there is in the NFL.
Is it? Is that a good job? I mean, you've got the owner looming over absolutely everything. And the players in the locker room, they know this.
Right. I think it's good from the standpoint that Dallas is one of the premier locations. You know, if you're the head coach of Dallas, you have a certain status. If you're the quarterback at Dallas, you have a certain status.
It's Hollywood of the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, those guys are kind of movie stars. And so, you know, if that's what you're looking for, then, you know, from that standpoint, I think it's a premier job. I agree with you. Working with Jerry would be a little bit hard, you know, especially given the track record. You know, if you were working for him and he was going to come in and say, hey, we need to do this, and he'd won a couple of Super Bowls or, you know, they'd had tremendous success, you'd go, hey, this guy probably knows what he's talking about. But you almost go the other way. You know, the Sally rule, which is if she says turn right, you automatically go left.
That Sally rule is gold.
If he were to come in and hit you with that, you might go, oh, wait a minute. Now, I've seen your track record.
Yeah, Floyd. We're talking with Floyd Reese, the better half of Jared and the GM from 2 to 6.
Stable half.
I love you. I love you, Jared. But no, obviously, let's get back to the Titans and what they were able to accomplish. I think it was for an organization moving forward, that was a huge win. But even in the win, there is some disappointment. They lose Jayon Brown during the game. I don't know if he's going to play or not. It doesn't seem as if he will. How do they replace that? You got Kamalea Correa that came in. Roberson is playing well in limited time. How do they replace a guy like that, knowing the opponent they got coming up? Because if you don't have Jayon Brown that can run around with the speed that he has, how do you expect to chase around Lamar Jackson in that run game?
Yeah, and as we all know, that's the really, really scary part about this guy. I mean, he can fly, and you've got to have as much speed on the field as you can get on the field. You know, I'm not going to be surprised at all if they play most of the game with extra DBs, you know, just to get that speed on the field. You've got to have somebody that's going to spy him all the time. You've got to have somebody that can help you in coverage in the middle of the field, because he loves his tight ends, and that's where he gets the ball to him a lot of times, in the middle of the field. So, you know, you've got a lot of things to consider here. But if you don't have speed on the field, and even the spy, you know, the spy is going to have to be somebody that can really run, because...
Well, that was Jayon Brown. I mean, Jayon Brown was your spy on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. And you know, Woodyard and guys, I mean, I love them, but I don't see him being able to do that. But, you know, I'm not even sure there's many of the linebackers that will be able to do that, simply because if you take a bad angle or he shakes you a little bit and you miss a tackle, I mean, it could be 6.
Now, David Long is a rookie from West Virginia who's come in.
And he played well.
And he can run.
Mm-hmm.
And he can run. But that's a big responsibility. And then you've got Rashawn Evans,
yeah,
who's playing really well and runs well. doesn't run like Jayon Brown, but he's a good tackler, and has shown, I think, to be more and more responsible and more a guy you can trust. So it's going to be very interesting because to me it's got to be one of those two guys. But I agree with you, Floyd. I think this is a game where you see a lot of Malik Hooker and you see a lot of three safeties on the field at the same time.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. It's simply because, again, you know, they're not traditional in the things they do. I mean, this offense is really unique to the NFL. You know, they've got more rushing yards than passing yards. The quarterback is the number one rusher and the number one passer. You know, he is such a part of that game, and yet he is such a skilled runner. You know, and I mean, he can shake you, he can outrun you. He's stronger than people give him credit for, and it's the kind of guy that if you take a bad angle, he'll outrun you. If he shakes you, it may be sick. So, I mean, it's one of those, every time he's got the ball, you're going to hold your breath.
Well, now, Floyd, I know you're not a stat guy necessarily, but I'm going to throw some stats at you that are unbelievable. They have averaged this year, 206 yards rushing a game. That's for an NFL season. That's more yards per game than eight teams are averaging passing the football.
Yeah.
They have 1,000 more rushing yards than not the last place team in the league, than the second place team in the league. They are 1,000 yards rushing clear of the second best team in the National Football League. You've had some great running football teams. I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, the league hasn't. You know, this is something really, really new. And it's, you know, it's the quarterback. Not taking anything away from the running backs.
1,200 yards.
Yeah, he is truly special from that standpoint. And you know, you most of the time in the playoffs, you're going into this and you're thinking, oh, my God, we got to get pass rush over. You know, what kind of coverage or who are we going to double? And, you know, the game plan here has to be how do you stop that quarterback? Let's face it, if you can, you know, you're going to win. If you can't, you're in serious trouble.
Well, Floyd, you know I could talk to you all day long, but I know you got 8 long miles to put in. So I'm gonna set you free. You're on from 2 to 6 today with Jared. I'm sure you're gonna have plenty of reaction to David Poyle's press conference today. That's at 11:45 this morning.
Yeah, we learned something there.
All right, Floyd, go out there and get it today.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
All right. That is Floyd Race, co-host of Jared and the GM, former general manager of the Tennessee Titans, and we had a lot of ground to cover there, Mace.
Yes, a whole bunch of it. I mean, this is – you thought Michael Vick was bad years ago, over a decade ago.
Yeah.
This is worse than facing Michael Vick. It is worse.
He threw 36 touchdowns this year, which I think led the league.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be only the second player since Jim Brown to win the MVP before they turned 23. Look, and the Ravens get tons of credit for, number one, believing in him, because I didn't believe in him coming out. And you saw his rookie year. Mm-hmm. He didn't look believable as a passer.
Mm-mm.
But he deserves a ton of credit for becoming the player he has. I never thought I'd see a quarterback rush for 1,200 yards and survive.
No.
I mean, and I think that's kind of what's incredible about this whole thing. But we'll try and talk as much Titans as we can today, but obviously the Peter LaViolette story is going to continue to be center stage. So we'll touch more a little bit on all this. When we return, this is Corey Curtis filling in for Braden Gall with Derek Mason on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is The Morning Drive. Corey Curtis running strictly on caffeine at this point. After a long trip to New England over the weekend. You know how long I slept, Mace, after the game before we headed back to Nashville?
What, 3-4 hours?
20 minutes. I slept for 20 minutes. We finished at 2:30 in the morning, and our flight was at 5:40, so we were in the car at 3:30 to go to the airport. I slept for 20 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, it was kind of a long Sunday.
Yeah, but it was worth it.
I took yesterday off, and I slept in like 3 different rounds yesterday. And then last night, I didn't sleep at all. So if I fall apart here in this show, it's because
have an excuse.
I didn't sleep at all. The Nashville Predators have fired Peter LaViolette. After a run to the Stanley Cup Finals a few seasons ago, I think 248 wins, a President's Trophy. He is out. David Poyle will have a press conference later this morning, I believe 11:45, to discuss the firing and who's next and what the short-term and what the long-term plans are for the Preds. We're talking about that this morning. The Tennessee Titans are preparing for round two of the NFL playoffs, and what will be their third playoff game with the Baltimore Ravens. And you've played in all those games.
Yeah.
We won't play in this one.
No, I won't play in this one.
But we would like you to.
Yeah. Actually, this will be their fourth.
Their fourth. That's right, because they lost twice as the number one seed.
Exactly.
And then knocked them off in Baltimore as a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
In a real fist fight of a football game. Holy cow.
It was a slugfest.
Yep. But so this is round four. And I want to touch on the meaning of this game to Nashville in a little bit. So we're going to talk a lot about that as well. If you want to talk about either of those things, just give us a call at 615-737-1025. I think this is a big week, and today is certainly a big day with the firing of Peter LaViolette. So we want to get you to weigh in on what you think about what's happening in Music City at this point. I want to touch on one point with the Preds, and then I want to get to the Titans and their matchup with Baltimore after that. So I'm just going to ask you this. What's the number one thing you need to hear from David Poile today?
Why?
Okay.
Why now?
Why now?
Why now?
Okay.
Because this is not something that we saw this team headed down this road, meaning the inconsistencies, way before the halfway mark of the season. So why wait until the halfway mark and then fire him? Because you just didn't wake up and say, okay, I'm done. I think there's been this process, and I think you was resolute in your mind a while ago. So why now do you make the move to fire him?
We will see what he has to say or hear what he has to say. My guess is the answer is going to be, I wanted to give him, he has meant so much to me, so much to our organization, that I wanted to give him every opportunity to get turned around, and we just hit the point in the season where we had to do something. Well, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they had a meeting and it all just fell apart, which is entirely possible. Tennessee Titans, a 10-point dog against Baltimore.
Whew.
You know what this is, Mace?
What's that?
This is a role reversal.
Yeah.
This is a role reversal. They are the number one seed. There have been two times where the Titans have played the Ravens in the playoffs, had a first-round bye, hosted the Ravens, and then lost. This is the chance for this organization to take back something that the Ravens have taken from Nashville for years. Look, I've always said, if you're a Titans fan, you should hate no team more than the Baltimore Ravens. They have taken more from you than any team in the National Football League. They took two teams that should have gone to the Super Bowl and sent them to a one-and-done in the playoffs. You have a chance to stick it to them. You've got a chance to end their dream season. They think they're the stuff. They think this is their year. And you have a chance to say, see how it feels now? This is what you did to us. This is that chance.
You know, the only bad part about this is that none of those guys that are on either of these teams were a part
of
those.
But the fans remember. The organization remembers. Listen, it's the same ownership.
Yeah.
The same owner. The Adams family owns this team. They were in it. They know it.
Yeah, but it's going to be really difficult.
I don't care. That's the greatness.
Yeah.
Like Tom Hanks said in League of Their Own, it's the hard that makes it great. When you beat the Bengals, it's not a great day. When you go to Baltimore and win, that's a great freaking day.
Oh, of course it is. If they can go there and do something that, when you're a 10-point dog, nobody in the world thinks you're going to win. That's just the way it is. And if you can go in there and pull out a victory, however you do it, it doesn't matter, however you do it, then it becomes monumental. People start to really pay attention to you as a team and as an organization, and that can kind of propel you even further, not just that particular season, this season, but, you know, seasons moving forward. But they're going to have to, I think they're going to have to, the defense is going to have to play a little bit better, because I think if you look at the Titans, they're always going to play New England tough. That's just the way it is.
That was a good matchup.
Yeah,
that was a
that
great
was a
matchup.
Perfect matchup for them.
Yes.
Dean Pease knows, you know, that system. Vrabel has been a part of that system, and it hadn't changed, really. They sort of understand. Bill Belichick has had problems with people that he's coached. He's had problems this year. And Dean Pease has always had his number. Even when Dean was in Baltimore, he has always had, you know, New England's number. So that matchup was perfect for them. This matchup might not be as perfect.
It's not perfect for anybody.
No, and that defense has to play better, much better than what they played against the New England Patriots, because not only do – because they play the way you play, but times two, meaning they run the football. They want to run a football just like you, but they take it to another level because their quarterback – is an extension. He's truly an extension of the run game.
And he's explosive.
Exactly.
And when the quarterback runs the ball, it gives you an extra blocker every time.
Yeah, and they run this wishbone T, and they do all this crazy stuff. Roman has – and maybe he – I guess he does get a lot of credit because he's now a part of the who are we going to hire this year as far as head coaches. But Greg Roman has done an exceptional job.
Well, he's the same man – who constructed the offense around Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco.
He sort of went the route of Arthur Smith because Greg Roman was there when I was there. And Greg was a part of the offensive line, and he helped with the offensive line. And he sort of moved up as the years went by. And when they got Lamar Jackson, it was perfect because he had familiarity with a guy like that.
Yeah.
He can run an offense with a guy like that and be successful.
And got the handcuffs taken off of him.
Absolutely.
To utilize. Because that's really one of the big challenges with mobile quarterbacks, is having the go-ahead to let them be a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, you can't be scared of the guy getting hurt. You just got to go out there and you got to play it. And you hope, because of this new NFL, that these guys know how to get down. You're not going to get hit the way you used to get hit. The head-to-head, the helmet-to-helmet, you're not going to have that anymore. So all you ask Lamar Jackson to do is, when you see a defender, and if you don't think you can juke him or outrun him, get down.
Yeah.
Live to play another day. We'll get another 5 yards somewhere.
All right, well, we're getting ready to head to a break, but I want to ask you about this point before we go. You have been a part of a first-round bye a couple times, and not only did the Ravens have a first-round bye, they rested their star players in week 16. These guys haven't played meaningful football in 3 weeks. Is that a problem?
It can be. And that's what the Titans are banking on, I think, to start off.
Yeah.
That's what they're banking on, the rustiness of the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, not just the rust. I think you can lose your edge. Because the Titans have been in this playoff mode, and they're, you know, they know how they got to play, and they're out there cranking every week. The Ravens haven't done anything in 3 weeks except listen to how great they are.
Well, I think I don't think they lose their edge for one reason only.
The head coach.
Head coach, and they run the football. That's what they do. And you're not going to lose your edge running the football.
The culture in there prevents them from losing their edge.
Absolutely. If they were a passing team, and then maybe they lose the edge a little bit.
If they were soft.
Exactly. But this is a physical team.
Yeah.
And whether they got 2 weeks off or 2 months off, they're going to come back and they're going to be physical.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, Mace, I you know what? We got 3 hours of show left, but I'm just going to say this. If there is a Ravens pep rally in Nashville and you show up, just don't bother talking to me again. Okay? I love
Steve. The Titans get me dirty, though, man. You ain't got nothing to say about that.
They should have kept you. There's no question. There's no question they should have kept you.
I've forgiven Floyd, though. Floyd.
You know what? You have to make tough decisions.
Yeah.
But I mean, I love Steve McNair, but when he went to that Ravens pep rally before the playoff game, tough to swallow.
Did he?
Yes, he did, right here in Nashville.
Oh, that's when Joe was our quarterback.
Yeah, it's when you were playing. Yeah. You won. You caught like the only pass he completed the entire game.
Yeah, touchdown.
You guys got completely outplayed for 59 minutes and 48 seconds and somehow found a way to win the game. Your teammates intentionally hurt Chris Johnson.
You can't intentionally hurt somebody.
Well, you can when you grab their ankle and twist it around.
I love Chris, but we had to slow him down somehow, man. Hey, that guy's he's a Ferrari, man. You gotta puncture the tires a little bit,
all right,
man.
I'm just saying, no Raven pep rallies for you. All right.
I'm not gonna go to a
Ravens pep rally. Titan, and you're staying a Titan.
I'm not going to a Ravens pep rally.
All right. Corey Curtis along with Derek Mason. Look, he's the all-time leading receiver for both teams. I get it, but I see him through two-tone glasses, and that is it. This is Jared and the GM.
You want to be Jared?
I want to be Jared. I sound like Jared. I sound like an idiot right now. This is the Morning Drive on ESPN's 102.5 The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.